My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well, if you'd like, at the Team 980. Okay, we're just after 5 o'clock. Actually, we're farther than we should be after 5 o'clock because the host is very slow at doing a roster projection. He likes to talk too much, but that's okay. Michael Phillips is a patient man, but it's time for Not My Beat. No, that's the wrong button. We don't want to do that. Michael would be excellent for Real Things. At some point, we'll have Michael Phillips guest host for Real Things. This is the segment.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not My Beat.
Michael, welcome to the Monday edition of the Well-Oiled Machine.
It sounds like my program all of a sudden. I'm stopping and I'm starting and we're turning. I'm driving my producer nuts. Let's talk about the Dow. Let's talk about this. Then we spent 5 minutes talking about the astronauts who are stranded in space.
What is up with the act? We shouldn't go down that rabbit hole. I do want to know. If you want to call back in tomorrow and talk about the tomorrow they got the roster cut at 4 o'clock. You want to call back in Wednesday and talk about the astronauts? Buddy, I am down because I want to know what's up with the astronauts. But
Craig, they're going to be there till February. We got time.
That's a great point. I mean, for us, not necessarily for them. Okay, Michael, first, before we get to the football, I did not attend the game last night. You did. Of course, Michael, 910 The Fan down in Richmond, 10 a.m. to noon. Also cosplays a sports writer, something he used to do for real. But he was on the AP beat last night for Wino. So you were at Commander's Field. You got to see the upgrades. You got to see the new stuff. You got to see the things that they fixed to try to make it less of a dump. How is Commander's Field for 2024? What have they actually been able to do?
Yeah, it's cool that they put a lot of money into stuff that will not give them any return at all. I think that's a thing that immediately distinguishes them, in my opinion, from the past regime, is, you know, they put in new carpets and repainted the walls and, you know, fixed some cosmetic stuff where it's, that will never make them a dollar. Like, people who come are going to come, and the people who don't come are still going to not come. But it's just a little nicer. You just feel a little better, like, oh, this isn't a dump. Like, this is a spruced up dump. You know, it's not the Motel 6, it's the Holiday Inn now. And you're like, all right, we took a little step up. We're not where we need to be at all, but we took a little step up in the world. It feels nice, and I appreciate that. And I know, you know, we'll talk about 2030. They're going to be there for 6 more years. That's a lot of football. And so certainly the investments are not unjustified from that perspective. But you wouldn't blame them if they went all in on the new place and just started ignoring, the FedEx Commander's Field, whatever we're calling it now. But they didn't. They spruced it up. It's nice.
Yeah, and I will say, I will give Josh Harris a lot of credit too, not just for opening up his very, very large wallet, but I loved what he said about this yesterday. He goes, you know, the question was basically like, what do you want fans to feel when they come? And I feel like a lot of owners we want it to be electric. We want it to be amazing. We want them to have a great whatever. And he's like, I want them to feel comfortable. Because going to FedEx Field has been an uncomfortable experience for a long, long time. The product stunk. The place stunk. And while he has put in a lot of money and hired very smart people to fix the product at the very least, like, it cannot also be a terrible experience because of the facilities. And while it's not going to be a great experience because there's only so much you can do with that stadium, the fact that he's, like, comfortable, that's his word, that actually spoke to me quite a bit and speaks to, I think, a lot of the things you just described, Michael.
Yeah, it's a fan base that's been through a lot. And, you know, during the woman who's the, you know, the PA and stadium announcer, she did a Commanders fans, you know, usually say like the best fans in football. She said the most loyal fans in football. I thought that might be right. If you've been through all of that and you're coming back on a Sunday night for a preseason game, pat on the back. Like, yeah, you've been through some stuff. And maybe a little love wouldn't be the worst thing in the world in terms of emotions to provide.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Michael Phillips with us, 910 The Fan in Richmond. You can catch him there daily on the free Odyssey app starting at 10 a.m.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, again, not to like be avoiding the football, but I thought the most consequential thing, the most concrete thing that happens relative to the football last night is the inactive list. A couple of names on it that were surprising to me. What do you make of the strategy to not only not play guys like Jamison Crowder and Michael Davis, who might have, we thought, maybe be a little bit more fringy in terms of the roster, but not play guys like De'Ami Brown, et cetera, who are fighting for minutes and roles, and really just leave it to the, hey, if you're playing, you might not have a 53-player roster spot on Tuesday, guys?
Yeah, I think there is a respect for the veteran guys. I don't know that I'm taking it all the way that they'll make it or won't make it based on the inactives. I think there is a respect, though, of like, hey, we know who you are. The league knows who you are. You don't need to be out there tonight. You know, they were very clear. You talk about consequential. I mean, I think the Josh Harris press conference is far more deserving of radio airtime in the number of topics he addressed and in just the fact that he did it than the game itself. I think from the Patriots side, the game was kind of interesting. You know, Drake May playing a half, the offensive line looking so bad, Jacoby Brissett. From the Commander side, though, I mean, the one thing I loved, you know, you had two guys, defensive tackles, Fedarian Mathis and John Ridgeway, who, you know, are kind of playing for one spot, and they both made the case for it, and it may end up being two. I don't know how your projection turned out on that. I just loved seeing guys rise to the moment and give those big-time performances when it really mattered.
Yeah, I put them both on because I think they earned it. And I think that maybe by Thursday, Friday, or next Wednesday, they might not both be on. But that gives you a little bit more time to maybe get one of them to practice squad. But I genuinely think that they both could make it. Obviously, we're going to find out a lot more about Johnny Newton's injury in the next couple of days as well. You know, we were just talking about this, Michael. There's a new rule where you can put two guys directly to IR with the designation to return. So if that's a multi-week thing, you have to think that like maybe Newton and McGee go to those spots and they don't have to wait 24 hours anymore. So you can kind of get 55 guys on. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. Is there anything in terms of the roster guys on the bubble? I'm limited this to one guy for us to talk about for now, but you get to pick the guy that you feel very strongly he should be in or very strongly he should be out.
Oh, that's interesting. Feeling very strongly the in or the out. Part of this exercise this year is so many of the ins are going to be unproven talent. That, you know, it's hard to go to bat for some of these veteran guys who have been around 3-4 years and don't have the production to show it, right? That, you know, this is a team that's very much still building and is going to go young. I am intrigued. I won't weigh in either way because it's an unknown. But at quarterback, is Marcus Mariota hurt or not? I think is a very legitimate question. And that the legitimacy of that question probably decides if Jeff Driscoll's on the 53 or not, which makes it a $350,000 groin injury for Jeff Driscoll in terms of the swing between the practice squad and the 53 salary. That's of consequence to him personally, and I would imagine his family. But more broadly speaking, that's a roster spot for somebody downwind. I continue to be intrigued by the battle at safety. Derek Forrest, I don't think, did himself a lot of favors last night. I'm not prepared to go full hot take here and say he should be out, but I don't know that he's for sure in.
No, we just had him out. Tyler Owens is for sure in. I think Revo's in. But I think it's down to Defoe and Castro Fields for one spot, and whether they want to go corner or safety, how much they value each guy's special teams value. Like, I think that's kind of one spot that's on the line. I'll give you mine, Michael. I feel very strongly that Kaz Allen shouldn't make the team. I just think that if you're a guy that's supposed to make the team because you make explosive plays, you should have had to have made one explosive play. Thoughts?
It's a fair standard. The Hoffman standard,
put
it up with the gold standard, the Monroe Doctrine, the Geneva Convention, the Hoffman standard. Great moments in history.
The Geneva Convention. Wow.
I went in way over my head there pretty quickly, and I couldn't find a way out.
Yeah, no, that's never happened to you before. I'm absolutely stunned. Michael Phillips with us, 910 The Fan in Richmond, of course. All right, so let's go through a couple of the hot. If you don't have a guy that you're like, I will stand on the table to either kick him out of here or to get him in.
I wish I did. It'd be good radio. Yeah, I don't. So let's roll through your list.
All right, let's roll through a couple of the ones that everyone's talking about then. Running back. Do you keep a fourth? And if so, is it Michael Wiley, Chris Rodriguez?
Look, I like Michael Wiley, and he had an indisputably great preseason. This is part of kind of where I come back to, like, I wish I were more of a hot take artist. Here's what I got for you, Craig. It's really easy to get running backs to the practice squad. Neither of those guys are going to be poached. There's no strategic advantage to keeping them on the roster when they're clearly not going to get snaps until Brian Robinson or Austin Eckler gets hurt. That's why, like, I would love to have the debate with you. Who had the better preseason between the two of them? They both looked good at times. They both showed flash at times. It doesn't matter. They're both on the practice squad. They both make it to the practice squad. They both get elevated when they need to. That's the part of this business where it's like, I'd love to go to the mat for one of them, but they could both be on the practice squad, and that's just fine.
Yeah, so that's actually where it gets interesting, though, for me with Kaz Allen to bring it all together. I backdoored Kaz Allen in this conversation because he's a running back now. Are you really going to have 3 of your 17 guys being on practice squad? 3 of 16, really, because the last practice squad guy is your international pathway player. Are you really going to have 3 of 17 be running backs? Like, that seems like a lot. So, like, it does become kind of interesting in doing some of that stuff of who they want to keep around and develop. I personally keep Wiley for sure. Like, of the three, he's my number one seed because I think he had an excellent preseason and showed, like, actual real vision, which is kind of, to me, something you can't teach, the whole making people miss thing. So
very, very good preseason. I will co-sign on that.
Yeah, wide receiver, 5, 6, who the hell's the sixth?
Yeah, and right, that this is where I think Jamison Crowder enters the chat. Is there a return element here? Nobody's really tipped what they're going to do on kickoffs. How important are kickoffs? Will there be kickoff returns? I think all of that plays into this discussion as we go down the list here. Also, this is another one where we can have this discussion today, and then we can have this discussion again on Wednesday when they potentially pick up a wide receiver who gets cut, and we're already seeing some early names. There's certainly the chance that I think 6 is the number, and number 6 is a placeholder for guy who they get off the waiver wire as opposed to guy who's actually on this team.
I tend to agree with you, and I think that Crowder, like Dan Quinn basically said last night, if you're healthy and you didn't play, like there's a couple guys that weren't healthy and that's why they didn't play, Trent Scott. But like Crowder's healthy. He didn't play. Jameson Crowder's on the football team. Tight end. Everyone's kept an eye on Cole Turner. He had another mixed bag last night. Colson Yankoff has quietly been really, really good. I tend to think that they'll keep four because they want to do a lot of multi-tight end stuff. They don't want to overload Zach Ertz. And Turner and Yankoff both play special teams. The question is, which one is it?
This is great radio because it's just us agreeing with each other back and forth. Yeah, I think they keep four as well. I think there's a lot of two tight end sets coming, and that is to provide extra protection and help for Jaden Daniels, right? I think John Bates is going to get more snaps than people think he's going to get because he can block and he can carve out some running lanes for the quarterback. I think those things matter. The other factor, of course, as you mentioned, Zach Ertz, you can't wear out that guy in week six. You need to make sure you're pacing him for the full 17-game season. This is where you say coaching change. Certainly with the last staff, Cole Turner makes it because he's their guy. He's not Cliff's guy. He's not DQ's guy. He's not really a guy in the preseason, and that's how quickly your fortunes can change in the NFL. I get the sense DQ is very interested in sending the message, show up every day, work hard, we'll reward you. Boy, that sure describes Colson Yankoff. Shows up every day, works hard, does the little things that need to be done. I'd love to see him make this roster because I'd love what it would represent as a team.
Yeah, and the problem is it also represents Cole Turner this preseason. Like, Cole Turner's worked his ass off. Problem is, he's still Cole Turner. And, like, that, I don't mean to be disrespectful, and I probably just was, but, like, he played really, really hard, and still there's drops, and there's questionable penalties, and he played so hard and gave it his all, and he should be really proud of how he conducted himself, and it still might not be enough, but I guess that's the NFL. All right, Michael, I'm tired of us agreeing with each other, and you said the Josh Harris presser is more interesting anyway, so let's wrap up with this. What was the most interesting thing for you from the Josh Harris presser yesterday?
Well, I do think the headliner is the 2030 date, because I think the casual fan isn't as dialed in as we are. And here's that number, and it's jarring. Like, six more years at FedEx Field. But it's true, and I'm glad he's setting the expectations appropriately. I think the name thing remains enormously fascinating until it's resolved. I think it might be a hot minute before it's resolved. He spent about a minute 10 answering the name question, and at no point did he say we're rolling with Commanders. I heard what I needed to hear in that.
Yeah, I do too, but I also think that he's 100% right that, like, the people talking about the name, the loudest group, or, like, one, it's a very, very loud vocal minority, but it's also your core fans. So it is the people that care the most, but within that, there's also a group of people that are like, if it's not the old name, then you might as well just run full speed off a cliff because I hate you. And Josh Harris, the one thing definitively he did say is, for obvious reasons, the old name is not coming back. So, like, you're just going to have to give up on that dream. I don't know why you're still having it, but alas, you're going to have to give up. So I think he's correct, though, that the bigger issue, the thing that will actually drive people being able to develop, like, lifelong bonds with the franchise is, can I go to a game and it not be terrible? Which will involve a new stadium, mostly. Hopefully they can get it to, I can go to a game and it can be palatable with the upgrades. But long term, I think he's correct. And so the headlines there, the 2030 date is fascinating. Do you think there's any way that it's before 2030, or is 2030 the absolute earliest, no matter the jurisdiction, no matter what?
I don't want it to be before 2030, because if it opens before 2030, that stadium's in the parking lot in Landover, Maryland. They can build a stadium right there as quickly as they want. They could start tomorrow if they wanted to. That means they've given up on RFK. That means they've given up on dreaming big, and they're going to slap something up. That would make me sad as somebody who wants them to aspire to greatness in this project. So if it's before 2030, I'm probably unhappy with the net result. And your Maryland viewers and listeners remind me all the time of how anti-Maryland I am. I'm not anti-Maryland. You can build it at National Harbor. There's a million places you can build it. Landover is an objectively terrible site for a football stadium. It just is. There are terrible sites in Virginia, too. I'm not partisan here. Dumfries was a terrible site for the stadium as well. I want them to dream big. They think it's going to take a little while to get RFK going. That's okay, because the end result's going to be really good. And to your point about the name, the hardcore fans are the ones making the noise. But I think for Josh Harris, this is about winning new fans as much as it is about satisfying the diehards. I just think Commanders is not a strong enough brand to capture a new generation of fans.
It certainly isn't right now, but let's be honest, if Jaden Daniels is awesome for 5 years as a Commander, then Commander Daniels is going to lead the Washington Commanders into their Commander's future, because you build brand identity by engendering positive feelings or negative feelings. And so far, everything about Commanders has been the Dan Snyder fiasco and thus negative. And if they can generate for 5 straight years positive associations of feelings with Commanders, then that's going to change. Like, the name objectively stinks. I'm not trying to defend the actual name itself.
Thank you.
Just a realist about the situation and like how, like, is Bears good? Like, what are we what are we talking about here? You know,
I want to like it. I want to get on board because it's easier than going through this again. But it's no pressure, kid. Jaden Daniels, it's all on your shoulders.
Yeah, that, of course. It's, you know, whatever. I don't know. I would like a new one, too. I'd like something they can shorten into a cool nickname. Like,
yep.
There's definitely available for upgrade. It just is not as simple as I think people realize. But we'll see. The one thing I will say to defend the honor of Landover, Michael, I do think that Wes Moore and, like, the county council and, like, folks in that area want to remake that in the way that Dan Snyder promised he would, and absolutely never did. And I think Harris is much more likely to be a good partner there. If they do it in that area, it's got to be closer to Metro. Like, you can't have a 30-minute walk from the stadium to the Metro. That's not tenable. If you can move it halfway closer at least, or build some kind of extension off of the Silver Line that only works on game day. Like, I am not a civil engineer, so I'm gonna need smarter people to figure that out. But Landover itself as a site, if you upgrade the area around the stadium, Landover itself continues to grow, and you can get it close to Metro, is not actually as terrible as, frankly, a lot of other sites that have been proposed.
Metro gets us closer, yeah. It's watching the fans walk into the Metro at midnight last night, it's not a good situation. And it's a tough location off the Beltway for weeknight events and games. You think about it, they want to host non-football events at this new stadium. Can you ask a bunch of people from Alexandria to come out to a business dinner there on a Wednesday night? Or are they going to say, look, that's an hour and a half away. I'll catch the next one. I think that's where the Metro access is really, really, really big for that site.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And then again, where in the DMV can you get to from Alexandria? All due respect to the folks in Alexandria, which is why, Ted, it was a terrible idea. Okay, now we've switched topics. Michael Phillips, everybody, 910 The Fan in Richmond, 10 a.m. to noon on weekdays. You can also read his report from last night in the Associated Press, which is distributed everywhere. That's kind of the AP's deal. Okay, Michael, thank you kindly. We'll talk to you not next Monday because it's Labor Day and we're not working, but 2 Mondays from now, we'll talk about a football game, a real regular season football game.
My goodness, I can't wait. This kid's going to be fun. I don't think they're going to win, but I think we're going to have a lot of fun on the journey.
Hey, I'm here for fun. Michael Phillips, everybody, he's also here for fun. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, speaking of fun, it's going to be a fun night at Nats Park. And the Nationals are going to have Dylan Cruz make his debut. We go to Nats Park. Toby Altizer joins us next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.